Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome to an Hour of Mind Power. Today we're going to have an open mic day. That's right. I won't have a guest on, so phone lines are going to be open from the very beginning of the show. And if you'd like to call me at any time during this hour, the toll-free telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. If you're a first-time listener, I'm delighted that you're able to join us. And again, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Let me tell you what I perceive. And after that, you are welcome to ask me anything that you like. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, we have been experiencing some blustery weather, which is typical of fall. And sadly, a lot of the colors are beginning to diminish, but it's exciting to go by and all of a sudden see a tree that is just coming alive with this wonderful, wonderful vitality of color that we always like to associate with fall. And J.G. Clark wrote something that I thought was very appropriate. I've got in front of me a magnificent photo of a line of trees that are just gilded with the golden tones of fall. And it just seems like it goes on forever and ever and ever. And this is what he said: autumn spills its heart in color, its breath in leaves, tumbling like gold. Beautifully said, and the photograph is just absolutely awesome. Well, I'm going to share with you some of the things that have been sent along to me by those of you that have been listening to the show, and I so appreciate your sharing your stories and your tidbits of information, because, hey, one can't do everything, and so often you come up with some real interesting items. And what I wanted to share with you is a story about Gerard Sagmiller. Now, Gerard is a man who grew up in North Dakota. And when he was growing up, he used to listen to his dad tell about World War II stories. And he said it was just always exciting because it was usually done on a Sunday. And he would talk about people like Eisenhower and General Patton, and Gerard said he didn't realize how significant these various individuals were in his dad's life. But he'd listen, and he was just fascinated with this story. And as he grew a little bit older and he began to study history, he began to have an understanding of why certain persons had such an impact on him. Little did he realize that one of those significant personalities that was well recognized in history was going to have a tremendous impact on his life in a way that he never, ever dreamed. Who was that man? It was General Patton. That's right. By the time his dad was finished telling the story, just like any boy would, he would want to go out and imitate some of these leaders, and he would go outside and he'd play and he'd pretend that he was one of these significant personalities. And he said when he would be on this pretend battlefield, he always felt so empowered. However, it didn't last very long. Apparently, Gerard had a terrible time in school, and he just couldn't do well at all. And he said, my playtime was a time when I really felt like I was in charge of everything. But no matter how hard I worked or how hard I tried, I just had this terrible, terrible time in school. And he said the teacher would banish me from the class, especially when it came for reading. And she would call him a slower reader. And he just felt like he was being singled out. And nobody ever really likes to feel the way he was feeling. And then the kids would say to him on the side, hey, stupid, Time for your idiot class. Will all the dummies go meet the teacher? Well, you can imagine. It's pretty tough. None of us, when we're growing up, ever liked being called a dummy. I don't care who you are. And so he, along with a number of other students, would end up going into the janitor space at the school. That was the only place they had at the school where they could work with the students. And it just was very embarrassing to all of these children that were having trouble learning. Well, he didn't know it at the time, but he was dyslexic. And he said, today we know to teach someone who is dyslexic, helping them link the letters on a page with sounds, is really a very good way to be able to learn. But he said, they didn't have a clue about this when I was growing up. Instead, he said, people that were trying to learn how to work with those students that were dyslexic or had other learning problems, they would try all kinds of games and, you know, flashcards and so many things that were accepted at that time. And do you know what? He even was isolated by being put into a desk, put on one side of a regular classroom. And he couldn't be seen or he couldn't be heard because they made him listen to tapes that would drill him in grammar and spelling. But he said he felt like a POW. He just did not feel good about this at all. As he went through school, he had teachers that thought he was stupid. He was lazy. They didn't want to be bothered with him. They wanted to work with the students that were able to learn. And he said, there was one teacher we had, those of us that were having difficulty learning, that would actually shake us physically. And he said one day, when he tried to read, no matter how hard he tried, he just couldn't do it. So he said it was just almost the end of the road for him because this teacher was screaming at him. And I can tell you, these things do happen in classrooms. Today, we're more aware of it. But at this time, and I'm assuming this was in the 50s, this was not unusual behavior on the part of a lot of teachers. This one, the teacher got so irate, physically, almost assaulted Gerard. Well, there was a teacher that noticed what had happened to Gerard, and actually his shirt ended up being torn, this type of thing, and they fired the teacher that was so violent with him. But after that experience, he looked at school as a war zone. Now, every evening when he got home, he used to go into his dad's library, and he would pick out a book that had the picture of General Patton. And he thought, would think to himself, I wish I could talk to General Patton. I just wish I could. I'm just a kid. I just don't know what to do. I wish I could talk to him. Maybe I could be like him. Maybe he could tell me something that would make me feel like I'm strong and I'm fearless and I can get things done. So his self-talk was pretty negative. Can you imagine? How many of us do that? Well, this little boy was doing that. And he said, I could never be like him. And he started to pretend that he didn't care about his grades. Now, believe it or not, he managed to graduate from high school. He said, just by the skin of his teeth. College? You've got to be kidding. He hated school. So he joined the military. He worked a number of years with the National Guard. And he said he learned that he had qualities of leadership that he had so admired in this man, General Patton, through the years. They recognized this, and they supported him. Well, one day, there was a commanding officer that he had a chance to interact with, and they were talking about Patton. And, of course, Gerard was very excited about being able to discuss it because he would tell his stories that his father shared with him and the various things that he knew. And he just was astonished, Gerard was, by what his commanding officer said to him next. So did you know that Patton was dyslexic? Gerard just was stunned. He sat there, his mouth fell open. He went, what? He said, yep. He said, let me teach you a little bit about history. He said, Patton had a terrible time in school. And reading and writing, well, that was just almost impossible for him. He flunked the first time he went to West Point. He had to reapply. His analytical skills, however, were absolutely amazing. And that's what helped him to get through the second time around. When Gerard heard this, here's a story about a man that had been his idol that he thought was Superman. And guess what? He had the same challenge that Gerard had. And Gerard began thinking. General Patton had analytical skills. That's what he excelled at. Gerard found that he could excel at computer skills, which takes a lot of analytical capacity. He said, wow, if General Patton had the same problems I had, and he could make it a success out of his life, I can too. Well, that helped Gerard change his attitude about education. He started majoring in computer studies, going back to school, and he used Patton as an inspiration for himself. Then he came up against a big hurdle. To graduate, he had to, for the final exam, he had to write a 500-word essay on the topic of his choosing. Well, right there, he felt like his goose was cooked. But he decided he was going to go forward anyway. And what he did, he enlisted the assistance of other people. He sat down and wrote his essay. Then he had friends who were really super good in English. They checked and made suggestions about improving things, corrected his spelling errors because of his dyslexia. And then he did something that for him was very important. He tape recorded the final essay. Now, what he found, because he was dyslexic, when he did the tape recording, it helped him to involve his other senses so that he could read the written version well. He memorized the wording of his essay, and he memorized the spelling of each word. He memorized every single aspect of the essay because he knew he was going to have to do it word for word on the day of the exam. But you know what? He passed the course. He was able to do it. He now has an undergraduate degree in business and computer technology and a master's degree in business administration. And he works as a computer consultant. He said, and I quote, I've made a success of my life. Even better, I've found peace. And all because of a man I never met, but have known all my life, who gave me the gift of hope. I share that story with you because I think it is so important for us to realize there isn't a one of us that is not a challenge at one time or another. You can be born with a silver spoon in your mouth, and you can still have unbelievable challenges. When you can pick someone or choose someone that you admire, and you become aware of the fact that they became successful in whatever level, and they have their human frailties, that can empower you, just like it did Gerard. This is a man who's gone on with his life, and he's extremely successful. You may never see anything about him in Wall Street Journal or some other areas of public notoriety, because he went about his life doing what he knew he was capable of doing after he became aware that because he had some shortcomings in various areas didn't mean that he couldn't overcome them. And that is something that for any of us we need to keep in mind. And that's why it's so good to have a library of material you can go to. It's so good that you can listen to tapes. Go to your local library. If you're having a tough time, if you're feeling stuck, take a seminar, listen to audio tapes, read a book, talk to people that are going to give you something that you can mentally and emotionally, physically and spiritually really bring into yourself, because it makes a difference. We all are going to have times in our lives where we feel like we're going backwards and there's no place to go, period. We don't even have the energy to even look up, like so many say, look up, look out, look about. Sometimes we get so tired, we get so weary, we don't know how to do that. So look to other people for situations of inspiration. And believe me, I have a lot of respect for our local libraries, because it really does make a difference. You go in there, and you know what? You can check it out, and if you don't have money, you've got it for free. There are teachers. There's so many wonderful people around that are willing to help. Don't be afraid to open yourself up to opportunity. But you do have to let people know that you're looking for certain things so that they can help you find what you need. This is Donna Sebo. This is an open mic day. Telephone number, if you would like to call me today, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Give me a buzz and I'll light up your life with some intuitive insight. I did also want to remind you, tomorrow I'm going to be flying to the Big Apple. We are going to have a wonderful program. Sharkey is going to be on tomorrow, and you're going to be hearing her wonderful story. And then on Friday, well, we're going to be talking about a dog named Cody, and that'll be a broadcast live from the Big Apple. So I know that you will enjoy it, and I hope you'll join me. And for those of you that are in New York, if you want to meet with me, or also those of you in Alaska, I'm going to be in Alaska next week on the 19th. I'll be going up to Fairbanks, and then on the 21st through the 23rd, I'll be in Anchorage. Give me a call, whether it's New York or Alaska. You can call me at my office, 253-582-5604, and I will make time to be with you while I'm in those areas. And, oh, there's so many exciting things going on. And I've got a class coming up in November, and I'm going to tell you about that later on as well. Now, I wanted to share with you some information today, and that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm just going to be sharing odds and ends of information. One of the points of information that has come to my attention, and it surprised me, was about how many young people are still living at home. So I'm going to be bringing some of that out for you. But also I wanted to give you a little bit of information. Retirement planning. Boy, people hear about that comment and they go, can I possibly even consider that? Well, maybe if you're going through some tough times right now, you may not think you can. But if you're concerned about Social Security, there are financial planners that are beginning to say, we better adjust how we're, you know, telling people to plan. Clients, if they're in their 30s, may feel that they're not going to have any government Social Security plan available to them in the coming years. And in the 40s and 50s, if you're in that age bracket, expect half of what the estimated benefits might be. And if you're in your 60s, you'll get 75% of what that estimated amount will be. It's quite interesting when you look at those patterns and points of information, how a shift is occurring. So what can you do? Well, you can educate yourself about money and then start a savings program that will allow you, first of all, to have maybe 6 months reserve. And sometimes it starts off with a very small amount. And it's a little bit here, a little bit there, and before you know it, it adds up to real money. There is a woman that I learned about. She was African-American. She didn't have much of an education, and she worked as a cleaning lady. Now, someone had taught her when she was growing up that she was to save 10% of whatever she earned. Just put it away. Don't touch it. Well, she started this when she was in her 30s. By the time she reached her 60s and was close to 70, her bank that she had done business with for years, and she was still working, the bank manager had known her for many, many years. This was a small community bank. And he came up to her, and I'll call him Mrs. Smith, and he said, Mrs. Smith, I want to know how you're doing today. She said, I'm doing just fine, thank you very much. He said, Mrs. Smith, do you know how much money you have in your savings account? And she said, no, I don't. He said, well, I want you to be aware of something. Come over with me. So I sat her down. Now, this woman just kept putting money away. She just kept putting it away. She didn't worry about it. She just did it regularly. And it had compounded over the years. Her salary wasn't very much. He said, I want you to know you have $120,000 in your savings account. And at the time she learned this, the federal protection on a bank account was $100,000. And he said, you need to know that you should put this $20,000 into another account, not keep it in the same one, because it's not government insured if you do. Well, she was stunned. That was a sum of money she never thought she could achieve. The same with any of us. We can do the same thing, but it's sometimes those little tiny steps. This woman was saving, in her view, maybe a few dollars a month. That was all. But it had compounded. And that's one of the secrets that some of the wealthiest people on this planet have learned. It's how do you compound the money you've got so that it is going to give you a return. Now, I know CDs and all kinds of things were promoted, and that may or may not work in today's world. But you still can check around, and there still are some options. So don't be afraid to incorporate that into your environment. And you can begin it now. Don't worry about the amount. It's just beginning it that makes a difference. Donna Sebo here. Oh, I wanted to share with you, too, during today's show. In our world today, we think it is sometimes an inconvenience when we go to the grocery store and we don't get exactly what we want. Well, I have a cookbook from 1869, and I wanted to share a few excerpts from that for you today, because I guarantee you that it would be a real trick to try to live as our forefathers did and enjoy the process. Boy, I'm very grateful for all the conveniences we have today. So later on in the show, I am going to be sharing some of that with you. It's a lot of fun just to go back into history and see what the men and women of yesterday had to cope with. And by the way, if you want to give me a buzz, it's an open mic day, 888-627-6008. Now, if you're in business and you are like any business person, you realize that you're going to have to be visible. You need to be out in front of other people. You need to be selling yourself and what you do. That is business. If you open up a business and you decide, gee, I don't want to do anything, it's just going to come to me. I know someone that did that, someone that decided they were going to be a consultant, and they got the fancy office, they got a little bit of furniture, and for a year, all they had during that entire year was one client. This person did not go to any meetings, did not put themselves out in any way, shape, or form, excepting a few social environments they might find themselves in, and that's how they got the one client. But the thing is, after a year, they had to close the office. Business just didn't walk into them. They really didn't like the sales aspect of having to go out and promote themselves. And this is sometimes very difficult to do. Well, one way you can do it is by being involved, dependent on your business environment, in various social situations, clubs, associations, but also trade shows. And if you have a particular niche that you're in, then that's what you want to focus on. And you shouldn't be too concerned about it unless you don't have much of a budget. But even then, there's a way of participating in trade shows. Now, why are they valuable? Trade shows bring together buyers, sellers, supplier, and also media. And if you're in the right show for you, and you have to do your homework, it could connect you with all kinds of people. People that maybe will take your product and or service and be able to work with it and distribute it to whatever their circle of environment might be. Now, trade shows, because of the economy, have not been as popular. And I know here in the Pacific Northwest, some of them that used to be quite regular and quite consistent decided to shift how they were doing things, and they've cut back in doing shows because people are not flying in from all over the country. We have the internet. We have so many different factors that have affected us. But let's face it, people are going through tough times. And where they might have been able to budget a few thousand dollars here, there, and everywhere so that they could go and make the business trips, they're thinking twice. They're saying, no, I don't know. It really is going to have to be worth it for me. Well, we know that it's important to know what other people are doing. Virtual trade shows that have 3D exhibit halls and show floors, and they even have social networking, are starting to come to the forefront. Now, there are a lot of digital avenues that we can use. However, I will tell you that when you're in business, you better have a face-to-face communication with people. You really need to utilize that. It does make a difference. And too many people are taking a position of detachment when they're interacting with the public. And in that respect, it's not such a good thing because you're going to miss out on the development of relationships. So you need to really find out about any trade shows. It's going to put you in front of people. I think of the Puyallup Fair that's here in the Pacific Northwest. And I love to go every year, and I just like to see who's there and who isn't. And the people that participate in this 17-day activity, the reason they do it is because they have exposure to tens of thousands of people. And it's over the 17 days. Many times they're just giving out flyers, but people see them. They have an identity factor. And then these businesses have a presence on the web, and all of it links together. You want to be sure that if you want to participate in this, that you have something that makes you stand out in a very special way. And, hey, you might make sales right there, wherever you are. And be sure you do a follow-up with the people that come by to see you, to visit with you, because I think you're going to find that trade shows, along with anything that's in the virtual world, all of it comes together. There's no one package that does it all for anybody at any time, any place, anywhere. There's all kinds of modalities that you have to utilize. And that is just a factor of business, and I don't know when that hasn't been. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. For those of you listening, this is an open mic day. We are going to be having those phone lines open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or initial. When we come back, I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit of housekeeping from Old Virginia. Actually, it's more like the kitchen factor of Old Virginia, 1869. I'll be sharing also with you about Lily and the Stage Lights. Ah, a little spooky story. You got it. And a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So just know that that's what we are going to be coming up with. Also, a little bit of history that I'm going to be sharing with you. But if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Before we go to break, I do want to mention I have a workshop coming up in the Washington area. This is going to be in University Place, Washington. It's called Quantum Mind. Now, this workshop is about empowering you and your life on multiple levels. For those of you listening in the Tacoma area and other areas of Western Washington, we're going to have two of us presenting. I am going to be talking about how you can develop your own intuitive skills. We're going to be covering the hand-brain connection, how to recognize your talents. We're going to do different types of exercises. And then a professional associate I've known for a number of years, Robert Newman, we're going to be discovering the essence of feng shui. So he wants you to bring along photos, and he will tell you how feng shui works and how it can serve you. Where is it going to be? It's going to be at 5250 Bridgeport Way West at the Bridgeport Place facility. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be opening the doors at 9:15. It's $39.95 for those 4 hours or $45 at the door. And we are going to have refreshments served as well. So I hope you can join us. Any questions, call me at my office, 253-582-5604. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. This is an open mic hour, 888-627-6008. Well, Lily and the Stage Lights. We're going to travel back in time to November 1928. There's a Broadway musical going on. It's called This Year of Grace. It debuted in New York City and then went on a tour in Canada, where a star performer, her name was Beatrice Lilly, well, she ended up saving the lives of the rest of the cast. Now, what happened? It was the end of the first scene. During the scene one, during the final act, as she was singing a favorite of people, Britannia Rules the Waves. This was a song that Noel Coward had written for her. Well, there was a woman that, her name was Phyllis Harding. Now, she was called a Gaffe, G-A-F-F-E. Now, she was a member of the chorus line. She was standing right next to Beatrice Lilly, and she saw something that was, in her mind's eye, just absolutely amazing. The cast had been arranged in a scattered formation because this was a musical. And at the end of the particular song, they were to reunite in the middle of the stage. Now, this young lady, Phyllis Harding, was watching the actress's face. And she said, she had this painful look in her eyes. Now, the comedian that was on stage and also Lillian, they were repeating the entire second verse of the song. And it kept all of us right in our positions. We couldn't move. We were literally frozen right where we were because they had repeated the thing, and we just couldn't do anything differently. Now, the orchestra had noticed this irregularity. There wasn't supposed to be a repeat of the second verse. Well, they did like any professional musicians do. They corrected what they were doing very, very quickly, stayed in sync with Lillian, covering up the mistake. As they were doing this, this horrendous crash occurred. One of the large arc lamps fell directly in the center of the stage where the cast would have been standing had it not been for Lillian and the comedian that was sharing the stage with her singing the verse a second time. The light smashed to smithereens, glass shards went all over the place. The young starlets that had been totally immobilized by the actress's action would have most certainly been seriously injured and possibly killed because this was a huge lamp. The young lady, Phyllis Harding, said, "Miss Lillian didn't lose a second. She went right over to the chorus and we moved on to finishing what needed to be done." The show went on. An incredible story. What did Lillian see? Well, Phyllis speculates, but who knows? But that's a story about a very, very famous actress and what she did that saved the lives of other people, seemingly unexpected. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008, if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And I do want to remind you, tomorrow we're going to have the best of Donna. Sharkey is going to be on with you tomorrow. And then Cody, well, he's a very special dog, and we're going to find out all about him on Friday. And I'll be broadcasting from the Big Apple. And then the following week, we've got an interesting lineup of guests. We're going to be talking with Elaine Smitha, and her book is titled Screaming Mother Nature for Profit. This is a woman that has what you call an attitude. I think you'll find it interesting. Then William von Holst is the author of The Warrior Code. This is a book that inspires and has dynamics in it that would be not expected. Frank Wolf is one of my favorite people. He's going to be coming on. We're going to be discussing the brand new book that Ripley's, believe it or not, has put out, and oh, is it fun. It's just really dynamic. Where they get these stories and things about people, it's just absolutely amazing. And then also next week, we're going to be talking about 6 life secrets of content women. Dr. Azarm is going to be with us, and then Jim Harold is going to be telling us some spooky stories about the campfires experiences that he has had and stories that he's recorded through the years. So we're going to start getting into that feel for, yes, that special holiday that always comes during this time of the year, and that holiday is Halloween. So we've got some wonderful, wonderful things that are going to be coming up. I hope you'll tell your friends. And by the way, if you have any special stories or you think you should let me know about certain particular things, I would love to have you send them along. And that's why I thought I would do an open mic hour to share some of the material that various people have sent and let you know about some of this that has been received by me. Now, I wanted to also share with you, because our cell phones are so vitally important and they are so sophisticated today, you need to be aware that you can secure your cell phone so it cannot be accessed by hackers. Oh, yes. All a hacker needs to do is to listen to your private voicemail. What he needs or she needs is so simple. A cell phone number and a special phone card like the one for $4.95 from spoofcard.com. What does this do? Well, it allows the hacker to use your number as his caller ID. Now, what he does, he simply dials your cell phone, then tricks your phone's program into thinking you're calling from your own cell phone. What it does, it gives the hacker instant access to your messages. Now, it's real easy to thwart a hacker. All you have to do is set up a password or a PIN number that's got to be keyed in before you access your messages. And you can contact whoever your carrier is. Go to their website to find out how you can do it with your own phone. But I thought I would share that with you because we are so portable with so much of our business environment today. And there are always those unethical people that will be out there just trying to muck up the works and maybe gain access to your accounts or whatever information they feel will serve their purposes best. So it's always a good idea to know about that. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. And for those of you in the wonderful city of New York, I'm going to be there. I'll be flying in tomorrow. I'll be there on the 14th and 15th. I'm doing an appearance at the National Publicity Summit. And I'll also be meeting with people for private appointments. And if you'd like to meet with me, call my office at 253-582-5604. I was sent by a gentleman by the name of Alon some information about history. And this is something that I was never taught this in school. Who is the first president of the United States? Well, we all know it. George Washington, right? Well, apparently not. Aha, surprising you. Well, the man's name is John Hanson. Now, he is a patriot, and he was the first president of the United States. He was born in 1715, and he died in 1783. Now, here's a little bit of his history. He was the heir to one of the greatest family traditions in the colonies and became a patriarch of a long line of American patriots. His great-grandfather died at Lützen beside the great king Gustavus Adolphus of Sweden. His grandfather was one of the founders of New Sweden along the Delaware River in Maryland, and one of his nephews was the military secretary to George Washington. Another was a signer of the Declaration. Still another was a signer of the Constitution. Yet another was the governor of Maryland during the Revolution, and another was a member of the first Congress. Two sons were killed in action with the Continental Army. A grandson served as a member of Congress under the new Constitution, and another grandson was a Maryland senator. Now, even if he hadn't served as president himself, he sure did contribute a lot to what went on in the United States because of his ancestry and his progeny. Now, he loved history. He loved classics. And he became very, very knowledgeable. He became a young planter and was living on a farm in Mulberry Grove across the Potomac from Mount Vernon. And as a young man, he determined that he was going to be involved in making the colonies free. He was elected in 1775 to the provincial legislature of Maryland. He became a member of Congress in 1777. Now, question, was he really the first president of the United States? Our country, the new country, was formed on March 1st, 1781, and it was with the adoption of the Articles of Confederation. The document was proposed on June 11, 1776, but not agreed upon by Congress until November 15, 1777. Now, Maryland refused to sign the document until Virginia and New York ceded their western lands because Maryland was afraid that the states would gain too much power in the new government because they had so much land. Once it took place, a president was needed to run the country. And John Hanson was chosen unanimously by the Congress, which included George Washington. In fact, all other candidates refused to run against him because he had been a major player in the Revolution and an extremely influential member of Congress. The role of the president had not been defined, and his actions in office set a precedent. Well, I know we've got to take a break, but this is amazing. History. How much of it do we actually get the real stuff when we're in school? How many students today are even made aware of a man called John Hanson? an American patriot, and the first president of the United States. Well, I'll tell you, do you know at that time, they were only allowed to serve one term. He served in November 5 through 1781 to November 3 to 1782, and six other presidents were elected after him: Elias Boudinot, Thomas Milton, Richard Henry Lee, Nathan Gorman, Arthur St. Clair, and Cyrus Griffin, all prior to George Washington taking office. Now, why did that happen? The Articles of Confederation, well, they didn't seem to work very well. Individual states had too much power, and nobody could agree upon anything. Sound a little familiar? So now something new needed to be drawn up. It's what we know as the Constitution. So George Washington was definitely not the first president of the United States. He was the first president of the United States under the Constitution that we follow today. And those first seven individuals, number one being John Hanson, nobody hears about him. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, have you ever heard of Bigfoot? Of course you have. Bigfoot, well, there is actually someone that does have a Bigfoot, not the typical image that we're looking at. His name is Matthew McGorry of Los Angeles. He has a size 29.5 foot. Yes, that's right, size 29.5. And it is 15 5/8 inches. And he's had to pay as much as, and this just blew my mind, $22,745 for a pair of shoes. How would that fit into your daily budget? Wouldn't make it in mine. He has been always very, very large, and he stood 5 feet tall when he graduated from kindergarten. Boy, it is amazing what can happen in life that you would never, ever expect could possibly occur. But life is a fascinating experience. Okay, I wanted to share with you a little bit of information going back to 1869. Now, at that time, people usually had to take care of their own meat. They didn't have supermarkets that conveniently put everything in nice little packages where we could just pick up a little bit of this or a little bit of that. Well, what if you wanted to have some beef? Well, the women in 1869, they had to really, if they couldn't do it themselves, they had to have help. And it wasn't unusual if you were on a farm to enlist the aid of different people to assist you during different times of the year. Springtime, people would help each other out in gathering in crops, and women would often get together so that they could help out with the canning and whatever else needed to be done. And in a way, it was a sort of social get-together because they were miles apart. But it was a challenging time because people had to put their food up or do whatever was necessary to get through the winter months. Well, in this cookbook that I've had for years, and I just think how much we love cookbooks today. I have a number of them in my kitchen, and I bet you have a number of them in yours. Well, how would you like to have someone come out, kill one of your animals, and then you have to dress it, as they call it? You need to have a building where you can hang up the beef by the hind legs, and you have to make sure that you have got good, strong structure in your building because that meat weighs a lot. And this is what it said in this book that I thought was just amazing. The beef, after it's being dressed, should be hung up by the hind legs with a smooth, round piece of timber, sufficiently strong to hold the weight. Pass through the legs at the hock or run between the tendon and the bone with short pegs to keep the legs stretched apart. Then you take a sharp axe, yes, stand behind the suspended beef, split it down the backbone, you sever it in half. Then you have to put a knife through the ribs, leaving two or three short ribs on the hind quarter, sever the backbone with an axe. Then you take and cut the sharp with a sharp knife straight across the parallel line with the spinal bone, and you got to take that piece, divide it into two pieces, the sirloin and the steak. You take off the rounds. You cut with a sharp knife. You use a saw or an axe near the joints. Take out the shin bones. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Can you imagine doing this? I'm aware of farmers that have butchers that come out to their site. They have these huge trucks. And when an animal has to be butchered, they have everything in this truck, and it has to meet the food standards that are required, sanitation and everything else. They do everything right in that truck so that the meat and different parts of the animal is all dressed, all prepared, and that rancher or that farmer doesn't have to do it themselves. And there are people that drive these trucks from ranch to ranch or farm to farm because it is such a chore to be able to do this. And when I looked at this today and I thought, boy, we sure are spoiled, aren't we? We are so accustomed to having things conveniently done, and lots of times kids today don't have a clue about what goes on in the real world. How many of you have known kids that have lived on a farm, actually lived on a farm, or been in that environment? Well, if you're not from the Midwest, and if you're not from a farming community, you're not going to have that experience or exposure. Boy, I'll tell you, all you have to do is be in that environment for a little bit of time, and you'll thank your lucky stars that you don't have to do what our forefathers had to do, or what my grandmother had to do, because she was born in 1900, and she had to do things like that. So it was a part of her life. It was just something that she took for granted, that she said, this is just what you have to do. And that's the way it is. So it's fun when you go back and you look in time and you go back into history. And I want to thank Lon for sending me that information about John Hansen, because there's so much we don't know. And there is an adage that's repeated so many times. And if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat the mistakes that were done in the past. And that, I think, is something we need to keep in mind. If we can learn from history, take advantage of that history, we're going to come out way ahead. Wisdom and insight comes from standing on the shoulders that go before us, but also paying attention to perhaps the journey that those people whose shoulders we are standing on have gone through. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Keep in mind that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, your life has value. You are significant. You're very, very important. If your challenges are causing you to feel that maybe you're out in left field, that you just really don't have much in the way of options to work with, pat yourself on the back, take a deep breath, and say to yourself something that someone taught me a long time ago. This too shall pass. Also, a thought they shared with me was, will it really make that much difference 100 years from now? Sometimes that gives you that breathing room that you need to take life in hand, to really get a grip, and to move forward. Donna Sebo here. I'll be talking with you live Friday from the Big Apple, and tomorrow Sharky is going to be with us, and I know that you will enjoy her. She'll be talking to you about shark sense. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you in a day or two. We'll be back right here at BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.